The Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We invite you to come and worship with us Sundays 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.org. That address again, www.lindenurc.org. Giving to every man an answer for the hope that lies within us. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor, Chris Gordon.
As always, we're very grateful that you've taken the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries, and you're welcome to go to our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. All of these podcasts there are free for download, so do please make use of that website. We've gone to a lot of work to bring that to you. We consider Abounding Grace Radio a privilege to be able to air and bring these gospel broadcasts to you. So we would love to hear from you. We would love for you to write us and tell us how the show has been a blessing to you. You can do that by going to the website at agradio.org and clicking on the form entry, and do please enter your information, and we'd love to hear from you. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we are continuing our study in Romans chapter 6, and Romans chapter 6 is all about the sanctified life, but it's not beginning by telling us what to do. It's beginning by telling us who we are. And that is very important for the Christian life. What Romans 6 here does, really, you can't even talk about sanctification until you understand the glorious truth that the apostle is explaining for us under the inspiration of the Spirit, so that we would understand and live in full joy and complete assurance that Christ has fulfilled all righteousness for us. I've titled this message, The Resurrected Life, and really, the doctrine of Christ's resurrection is everything for the Christian. I had a friend a few years ago who died of brain cancer, and after he died, I remember his wife came up to me and said, Chris, there's something that I will never forget. She said, you know what dominated his preaching at the end of his life? She said, when I listen to his sermons at the end of his life, what over and over comes out is his longing for the future resurrection of the body. And as I have reflected on that as a pastor, I have seen many Christians suffer in the body. Many believers go through some awful struggles in the body. And that has been a big focus of my attempt to pastor and minister comfort to people, to help them in their struggles. But one of the things that I've not always emphasized is just what the doctrine of Christ's resurrection means for the Christian now. It's not just a future thing. In fact, it's amazing that the apostle raises the issue of the resurrection as the answer to the new life of the Christian. So today on Abounding Grace, I want to consider how the resurrection of Christ has everything to do with the new life we receive, and how we are to look and see that everything we have been celebrating when we look at the life, the death, the resurrection of Christ is God's answer to our deepest need. And what an encouragement this will be in our continual struggle with sin. It's really important to understand the context here. Paul has been, for the past chapters, laboring to explain justification by faith alone. And this has been just glorious. God justified the wicked. To the one who does not work, but believes upon him who justified the ungodly, his faith is accounted to him as righteousness. Paul has been making shocking statements in the book of Romans, saying things like, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Christ fulfilled all righteousness. He accomplished it all. You have everything you need in him, and we just receive that by faith. We don't work. We receive it. We believe it. We trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. As we got to the beginning of Romans 6 last time, remember where he began. After going into great detail to explain the radical message of grace, Paul then dealt with what he knew would be the single great objection to the Christian gospel. What is it, dear listener? What is the single great objection to the gospel message of free grace? And we said last time, this is how you know if it's being preached right. This is how you know whether you're under a ministry of a man who is faithfully and rightly dividing the word of truth. When he's preaching gospel, what might you feel? What might be the concern that is raised? This is what Paul's dealing with. No other religion has said what Christianity says. All of them had their laws and their ways of trying to climb up the ladder to their God, meriting salvation, doing all sorts of things to earn the favor of their God. Paul has not told us one thing to do in the book of Romans yet, and we're in chapter 6. But he knows what someone's going to say. In fact, we said last time, this is proof. You know, you're hearing it correctly. Paul dealt with the single great objection of what we know as antinomianism, anti-law. He knew someone would come along and say, Paul, if you run around preaching that gospel stuff, you're going to promote careless living. If you run around saying that, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more, and the law increases sin. Remember, Paul said that at the end of chapter 5, the law increases sin. In other words, when the law says thou shalt not, it arouses the sinful desires of the flesh in us. Everyone was running around saying, you will produce those who then don't value the law, Paul. If you run around saying, oh, grace prevails in someone's life, that our sin is serving that great purpose, why not just keep going on in sin? Hey, it magnifies the grace of God. It doesn't even really matter. How did Paul deal with this? You know, someone said to me recently, I never understood in Romans 6 that when Paul dealt with that objection, he answered by saying it's absolutely impossible that someone could go on sinning that grace may abound. It's exactly right. Remember what he said? We can't go on sinning that grace may abound because he said we died to it. Now, we just scratched the surface last time. This is a glorious text and a glorious section of Scripture. Verse 2 is one of the most important verses for the Christian life because he makes this grand summary statement that the justified believer has died to sin. And then he goes on. Then he goes on to explain that this truth has far-reaching implications for the believer. And he basically surveyed the life of Christ and applied everything that happened to him to us. So in the first four verses, he said, you died, you were buried, you were baptized into his death. And because he was raised, you're brand new. Now, what made those verses so remarkable is that none of those things he described there, dying, being buried, baptized, he wasn't speaking in any way, shape, or form of what we do. There are all these aorist tenses there in the Greek, which means they are completed actions of the past that have huge significance for us in the present. This happened. This was done. This is yes and amen in Christ. And so we left off with the wonderful truth that what the apostle was doing was looking at the life of Jesus and saying, whatever happened to him in AD 30, guess what? That happened to you. When he died, you died. He was buried, you were buried. You were baptized into his death. Paul says, I want you for a minute to take your eyes off of you. And before we even get into this great talk of sanctification, before we even get into this great talk of how we should live as Christians, let's start here. I want you to look at Jesus. And I want you to see that in him, being joined to him, your life is hidden there. It's beautiful. Now, I don't know how much of that has set in. You begin to see just how overwhelming such a truth is for the Christian. The hard part of this is that none of this seems to really translate to my experience. I mean, think about it. The apostle knows this stuff's hard for us to wrap our minds around. And let me just pause here for a minute. I think that's why everything's gone silly today. You know, it's hard work to mine the scriptures. I had somebody say to me recently, well, you know, you and your program, you really get into the Bible. Amen. Shouldn't we? Everything is surface today. Everything is so casual. Everything is light. And what's serious anymore? You know, Jesus didn't act the way people act today. Jesus is very serious. And these are matters of life and death. Jesus came definitively to deal with the problem of sin. And this is what we're dealing with here. This is what we're looking at. This, we are a people of the book as Christians. And I believe the Christians listening out there are starving and hungry and want this. They want pastors who will open the Word of God. They want pastors who will feed the sheep with doctrine. Doctrine is food. Doctrine is meat. Those who remain on milk, Hebrews says, are unskilled and untrained in the Word of righteousness to discern, to be discerning people. So it's a little off tangent, I know, but I want to challenge us to listen carefully to what the apostle's saying here. This is so important for the Christian life. And this is why I believe so many are confused about Christianity. So many don't understand Christianity because they've not given themselves to learn what the book is saying to us. So Paul has said here, the reason you can't go on sinning that grace may abound, heaven forbid, how shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? How did we die to sin? He said, you were buried with him in baptism. When Jesus died, you died. He's uniting us and showing us what it is to have union with Jesus Christ, that we become one with him. This is all over the Bible. In Christ, in him, you have this. In Jesus, you have this. We're joined to him. So what does it mean that I'm dead to sin? That's what I'm unpacking today. Maybe this is a better question. How does all this work? You know, I died with Christ. I was buried with him. I don't see how all of that ties together with this awful struggle that I have against sin, especially if I sound like a broken record. You ever feel like giving up? Seem to make such little progress? Hey, we confess that even the holiest of this life, they only make a small step in sanctification. That's what all Christians have ever realized and confessed together. So Romans 6 sounds a little bit triumphant when the fact is the trenches we are in feel like miles from the cloud you are on in Romans 6. That's why I said last time, if it's not preached carefully, you might walk away from it and say, I don't even think I'm a Christian because I don't feel like I've died to much of anything. I'm sick of the fight against sin. That's the serious-minded Christian. He's struggling with it. I believe Paul knew everyone, how they would feel when they heard this message. And so what you essentially have in verses 5 through 10 is the unpacking and explaining of this dilemma. In fact, Romans 7 is going to speak very clearly about this long played out battle that we have with ongoing sin. But what the apostle is explaining is the fundamental difference in verses 5 through 10 between a believer and an unbeliever to make clear what it means that we died to sin. In verse 5, he summarizes everything he's been saying. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be united in the likeness of his resurrection. The word for united means to become one with, to be grown together with. This is what's happened to the believer. He's become one with Jesus. So the apostle says, this is what happened with you in Christ. You're united. United in the likeness of his death. Paul looked at Christ and said, look over there, dear Christian. Guess what? Since you're united with him, he died. You know what that means? You died to sin. And now verse 6 is the explanation of what that means. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now the word crucified there in verse 6 is again an aorist tense, meaning it happened in the past. So when he died, our old man was crucified with him. Certain translations use different descriptions. ESV uses the old self. I think what we want to see here very clearly is that what he is talking about is the old Adam. Because in chapter 5, he proved this when he said, the old Adam sinned. I was united with that Adam in his sin. So there's two heads of the human race. You are either in the old Adam, having that old nature, that old man, or you are in Christ, brand new. And so essentially what Paul just said is, since you come to Christ by faith, do you know what that death of Christ means for you? Here it is. God took you out of the old Adam, crucified that man, and put you into Christ to make you a whole new man. That's Romans 6. Now I'm speaking peculiarly of the believer today. God took you out of the old Adam, crucified him, and put you into Jesus Christ to make you a whole new man. Now that's important because on Judgment Day, those who are in the first Adam, there's going to be books opened. And Revelation 20 tells us that in the first book, all of our sins are written there. So if you're in the first Adam, all of your sins are being recorded in a book. And one day that book is going to be opened. You're going to stand before God naked, and you're going to have to give an account of your life. Now, if you've been taken out of that old Adam, there's another book. It's the book of life. You've been put into Christ. It's the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And there are no sins recorded in that book, just names. The names of those who've been purchased. It's the Lamb's book. It's his book. And that's what essentially we have here. He is saying, being in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's done. The Lord Jesus has killed the old Adam for you. Since you were united with him, he put him to death. He dealt with the first Adam that you might receive what he accomplished as the second Adam. The scriptures speak of this all over the place, dear listener. I mean, again, I can't stress enough. You know, we got to get back into the Bible. We've got to know the Bible, or else what is Christianity? We are a people of the book. Galatians 5, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There it is. If you are Christ's, guess what got crucified? The flesh with its passions and desires. Well, notice how Paul's speaking here. When he died, you died. The old man was crucified. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you see, that is why the whole notion of verse 1 is impossible. Can you just go on sinning that grace may abound? Certainly not. We died. Aorist tense. We died to sin. We can't live any longer in it. It's absolutely impossible to go on living in a perpetual life of sin if you are a believer, because when Christ died, you died. The old man was put to death. Now, this is important because there's a crucial distinction between living in perpetual, unconfessed, kind of lifestyle living in sin with no real guilt, no sorrow, hardness of heart. That's different than somebody who says, I will not do that, and yet still struggles fighting against the sins of the body. And that's really what we have to think about. The lingering problem we're still struggling with when we hear that when Christ died, we died. When we died to sin, what we're struggling with is this. What does it mean? What does that mean? Because the ongoing struggle seems to tell a different story. I mean, I'm a broken record. I feel like I just keep on coming to the Lord. You ever feel that way? You just keep on doing the sad old sins. And there you are again before the throne of grace. Lord, help me. And you feel condemned. And you feel the attack of the devil. There's no way you could be a Christian and do that. And you live and you think, what is this even worth? I make no progress. I don't get anywhere. This is what Romans 6 is dealing with. And the contrast here is very important. Listen to verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. This is very important. Notice the important distinction that was there just made. Paul said something really important. Maybe it's better to start with what he didn't say. He didn't say, you died to sin that you won't have the problem of sin anymore. That would be the idea of perfectionism, not what he said. He said, when Christ died, you were taken out of the old Adam. You were put into him by faith. And when he was crucified, you were too, resulting in you becoming a new creature. And now that is going to affect how you face your ongoing struggle with sin, in the body of sin, the sins that we do that express ourselves in the body, that come from the sinful nature. Having died, now the influence of sin in your life is being attacked. You're bent to go the other way. And you know this. Look at someone who's still dead in trespasses and sins. Do they love the church? Do they care about the Lord? Do they fear him? Do they walk in his ways? Do they have any conscience? It's really sad, isn't it? But when somebody has died to sin, what is the bent of their life? What's the desire of their life? They want to follow the Lord. They want to do his will. They love to worship him on Sunday at church. They love to follow him, to honor him, to do what is God glorifying, his commands being a way of thanking him for the great salvation they have. This is the fundamental difference. The difference really being now that the new believer, the new creature in Christ, is so sensitive about his sin that now he really struggles with God's love. And Paul wants you to know, this is what Romans 6 is about. You need to think of yourself the way that the Lord thinks of you. You need to reckon to yourself what the Lord has reckoned to you. And that's where he goes with this. What is being described here is what has been done for us in Jesus Christ. That's what we've been looking at. He says, I killed the old Adam, but the body of sin is still present. But since the old man is dead, the dominion of sin in your life is shattered. You're no longer a slave to it. You're no longer mastered by it. It can no longer control you so as to destroy you. Isn't that beautiful? I used to preach at rescue missions, and I'd say, how many of you want to be delivered? And the hands would go up, and they were so entrenched in the sin, they were so stuck in the sin, they were heading back out that night to do it. They couldn't get out. Maybe you've watched the program Lock Up, and it's kind of a documentary on the maximum security prison systems in our nations. And it's always been interesting to hear the guards speak of those who, when they're released, the percentage of how many will be back, it's shocking. They would say things like, this is their life. Some of them want to be back. Some of them can't do anything but be back. Paul just described the Lord, what he does. When a believer comes to him, when somebody comes believing and trusts in him and looks to him, this is so beautiful. The Lord says he breaks the dominion of sin, taking them out of the old Adam, who is completely controlled by that, in the dominion of it, that they can't get out. He shatters it by the death of Christ, and he sets you free. This is the glorious gospel of freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And Paul is describing that for us. And now you see how important this is for the Christian life. This death to the old self has two great implications for now the struggle with sin and the presence of sin in your life. Now it weakens it. You go after the root, and the Lord is giving you grace to attack it. There is a power available now to put to death sin in your lives. You can put it to death by the Holy Spirit. And now, being set free, sin no longer reigns in your life. You're no longer a slave to it. It no longer controls you. That's the beauty of the gospel message. That's the beauty of Christ's work on the cross. And now you kind of get a taste. Notice how Paul wants us to think. We'll come back to this tomorrow. He wants us to think about what has been done for us in the death of Christ. Having been joined to Jesus by faith. When he died, you died, so that you are now a brand new creature, a brand new start, resurrected, a resurrected life, so that you might be able to taste the freedom that he has won for you by his life, death, and resurrection. What a glorious gospel message of grace. Let it get into our understandings. Let us believe by faith that we've died to sin. We will begin to reflect and show the world what it is that we now are slaves to righteousness. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program, and we humbly ask both for your prayerful and your financial support. Go to our website at aagradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Thanks for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
We thank you for tuning in today. As a listener-supported program, we welcome your prayerful and financial support. To find out more about how you can contribute to these broadcasts, visit our website at www.aagradio.org. That's www.aagradio.org. Many resources are there for you to learn more about who we are and what we believe. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
It's hard to find teaching today that is gospel-centered and Christ-glorifying. This is our goal here at Abounding Grace Radio. We are a Christian radio broadcasting ministry committed to historic Protestant Reformation theology and the message of salvation by grace alone through faith alone. We teach the gospel of Jesus Christ from all of Scripture as a witness to those who do not believe and to strengthen believers in the truth of God's Word. At Abounding Grace Radio, we desire that all listeners would come to know the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we give ourselves each and every day to bring this radio broadcast to you. We invite you to go to our website at aagradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. All of these programs are there in podcast format for you for download for free. We would love to hear from you. We remind you that we are a listener-supported program. We are very thankful for any prayerful and financial support and would like you to know that any support that you give will go to the cost of the program. We are very thankful always to have this opportunity to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. If this has been a blessing to you, do please write to us. Our address is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Well, thanks for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. May this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.